As a Christian prayer, asking for blessings and God's presence at the beginning of the gathering. So as we would have said in Bella Bella, Heistokwa. Heistokwa means when you greet another person, how are you? And the other person would respond, Heistokwa umnugwa. How are you? I am fine. So I'd like to bring up my first picture. This is an aerial view of Bella Bella or Waglisla on the inside passage. And on the, it's a tiny little space on Campbell Island, and it's halfway up the inside passage between Port Hardy and Prince Rupert. And the next slide, please. This is a view of the town from the harbor. And at the very back in the center, you can see a little steeple coming up. That would have been the Derby United Church where I served. And the blue building at the front would be part of the hospital, the GW Large Hospital. And in Bella Bella, the Christianity came with the Mennonite mission. And then George Large came, Reverend R.W. Large, who was a missionary and a doctor. And so he started the church there. I mean, the Mennonites had begun it, but he came with the hospital, and he built a hospital. And then so the United Church moved from a church presence to also a hospital, which was the only hospital on the entire coast in those days. And they would travel down to the salmon canneries in the summer by boat, and they would people would come up to the hospital. And so the United Church for many years owned the hospital, and then eventually they gave the rights of the hospital over to the BC health authorities, but they also then continued to find the locums to serve in the hospital, and I believe they still do that to this day. When I first went to Bella Bella, I was told by one of the chiefs the story of how Christianity came to Bella Bella. And he said, it's oral history, that the Methodists were going up the coast, one of the ships landed in their harbor, which is about where this view is from, and went into the town and said, we'd like to come and teach you about Jesus Christ. And so the elders and chiefs said, yes, we'd like to hear. And so they let them come, and the missionaries told them the story of Jesus Christ. And then the elders and the chiefs said, we'd like to talk about this. So they sent them back to the ship, and apparently the missionaries stayed on the ship for 3 days in the harbor while the elders and chiefs talked about whether they would accept Christianity. In the end, they did, and they invited the missionary to come back, and it began the beginning of Christian ministry within Bella Bella. The reason they accepted Christianity, foremost, was the word forgiveness. And Chester, the chief at the time who told me the story, he said at that point in their history, there was no word in Helsic, which is the language of the Bella Bella people, there was no word in Helsic for forgiveness. And so wars that had begun a long, long time before the missionaries arrived continued in cycles of revenge because there was no way to escape. You had to protect your honor by retaliating. And so there was no way to break this cycle of war, and people were getting tired of it, and yet you had to honor the honor of the people. And so the word forgiveness resonated with them. It was a way to end the cycles of revenge. And the other reason, I was told, is that long ago, in their stories, there was a Christ-like person. And this First Nations person who traveled on the coast came with a message of love and forgiveness, but it had been lost, and it was only one voice. And so they resonated with the story, and the story, and the missionaries came. Could I have the next picture, please? So this is a picture of some of the chiefs who were all there at that time when I served in Bella Bella. Indigenous people live their faith in the rhythm of their lives. So there is not a concept of Sunday morning worship as we have. That is a Western idea. So for the First Nations people, you bring your spirituality in as your life unfolds through the events of life. And so they would, I would always be invited to potlatches, and their spirituality, their prayers, their blessings, their services, if you will, were at all the baptisms, the weddings, the funerals, the special blessing events in the longhouse, in the potlatches, blessing events in the community for land, for other issues. And that is where the prayers were held. And there was many of those. So they were very spiritual, but not necessarily seeing the need to come to church on Sunday morning. So Sunday mornings in Bella Bella was for all the Caucasians that came and worked on the reserve. And could I have the fourth, the next one, please? And so this is the crests of the Bella Bella people, and they were in clans and are in clans, and this is how they mark their people. So a family unit. As we would not marry within our family units, they do not marry within their clan units for the same reasons that we wouldn't marry our brother or our sister. And so they mark their clans with crests. And you always married outside of your crest, outside of your clan. And if you had to leave the village to do that, then you did that. And this is also a reminder that the life in Bella Bella has changed a lot since the missionaries arrived. And the reality of history for First Nations people, we all know that history. And while I was there, the residential school reconciliation process and the land claims proceedings were a constant reality. In the United Church of Canada, the World Council of Churches, and on global ministry websites, the voice of the Indigenous people is being addressed and listened to. Because we have to live our faith out in our current context. We're formed by history, but we need to live in the present moment. And so the churches are trying hard to work with Indigenous people to honor that. And the Indigenous people are working hard to say Christianity has to be voiced from our place, their place. And so I have this quote from that was read or prepared for the 43rd General Council called Caretakers of Our Indigenous Circle Calls to the Church. This is the quote. Our own Indigenous understanding of the Christ story is what we need. We are Indigenous nations, tribes, and conferences with clans and elders. Creator has placed us in our sacred lands and taught us to harvest the food, just as the first humans in the Bible. Our ways of seeing and being in this earth are much like the Hebrew people. We can hear creation have learnt from all our relations, the animals, the water folk, the plant families, our Mother Earth, etc. We hear in the groaning of the earth the sufferings of Christ. We feel the preciousness of life and the sanctity of love in our communities and our lands. Let us join together in the hymn, The Earth is Our Mother's. The first picture, please. While I was an intern at Vancouver School of Theology, I served my internship at Japanese United Church on Victoria Street in East Hastings. This is, at that time, the two congregations shared the church building, the Nisei, the English congregation that I was a part of, and the Issei, the Japanese-speaking congregation. The church saw its Christian mission to reach out and provide a Christian presence for Japanese within Vancouver and to reach out to the local community. And in East Hastings, there are many, many immigrants, often living in basements, often not speaking the language, often isolated. And so part of my internship with Japanese United was to integrate with the schools and the children and find ways to help immigrants to be part of the community. And next picture, please. That's not where they started. The Japanese congregation's first building was constructed in 1907, and this is on the corner of Powell Street, Jackson and Powell Street. And it began with the Methodist Mission Church, which became known as the Powell Street Church. The Japanese church grew. And in 1928, a second church was built in Fairview, which became known as the Columbia Street Mission. As with our faith, as with Knox, as with First Nations on the coast, as with the Japanese church, our faith is lived in the immediate context and in the context of history. And so while I served there, their focus was on the anniversary of the internship and how it had affected the grandchildren of the men and women that were sent to the intern camps. So in 1942, during World War II, those of Japanese ancestry, as you may know, were deported from a 100-mile zone inland from the Pacific coast. Over 22,000 people were removed from their homes and resettled. The members of the Japanese United Church, who had been worshiping together since the beginning of the century, were also deported. Their church building was held in trust by another United Church congregation for the following 10 years. When the Japanese United people returned to Vancouver in 1949, they found this building, their original church, no longer suitable in a suitable condition for worship. So they became migrants, traveling from place to place looking for a home to settle into. And then eventually, in 1977, they bought the building that they are in now. In 1952, the original church property was sold by the United Church of Canada for monies, which most likely went for mission purposes, but none of it went to the Japanese congregation. 10 years ago, the United Church of Canada apologized to the Japanese people for being part of that process that took what they had away from them. And they gave them last year in a ceremony $500,000 in recognition of that loss. So the Japanese people in their current location are using a chunk of that money to establish a website with the United Church archivist in Vancouver to talk about the history of the Japanese mission and people in Vancouver. And then the balance will go to the restoration of the current church. Could I have the next picture? This is probably a little-known fact, that in Stanley Park is the Japanese War Memorial. And this is where, when I was as intern with Japanese United, I celebrated Remembrance Day. The War Memorial in Stanley Park was dedicated on April the 9th, 1920, to honor the Japanese Canadians who had fought in World War I. A smaller plaque was later attached honoring Japanese Canadians who died in the Second World War and the Korean War. Some Japanese people have written history of the Japanese churches in Vancouver. And in an overview of a history of Japanese congregations in the United Church of Canada, George Takashima, President Emeritus, wrote this: "What we have in this book are stories of faith, journeys of a group of people somewhat akin to the faith journeys of the early Israelites. They encountered hardships every step of the way, including racism, yet they could endure this hardship because of their undying faith and belief in Almighty God." I have a Japanese prayer that was written by Masao Takanaka, the first president of the Asian Christian Art Association. Do we have that Japanese prayer? I didn't give it to you. Well, let us bow our heads while let's pray together. Eternal God, we say good morning to you. Hallowed be your name. Early in the morning, before we begin our work, we praise your glory. Renew our bodies as fresh as the morning flowers. Open our inner eyes as the sun casts new light upon the darkness, which prevailed over the night. Deliver us from all captivity. Give us wings of freedom like the birds in the sky to begin a new journey. Restore justice and freedom as a mighty stream running continuously as day follows night. We thank you for the gift of this morning and a new day to work with you. Amen.
To celebrate Christians from the West, we decided to celebrate Christians from the British Isles and reflect on Celtic spirituality and their gifts to us. Celtic comes from the word Kells, which means strangers. And they were considered the strange ones by those who first visited them. For years, the Celtic churches were virtually untouched by the Roman Church. And so they maintained a lot of their pagan pre-Christian sensibilities, which is why there is a circle of oneness that has no beginning and no end laid upon the cross, which moves in the four directions. There's the picture. There are many gifts of Celtic spirituality to the Church of the West, but I have chosen four. The first in their understanding of oneness is that there is no distinction between the secular and the sacred. No separation. That the spirit of the holy infuses everything we can see and touch and everything we can't. That God is all and in all and through all. That everything is holy. And that God is known in every leaf and tree, in every crash of ocean wave and river stream. And this emphasis and respect for nature and connection to the earth is reminiscent of the First Nations people of the North. The second gift follows from the first, that if God is in everything, then all life is blessing. We need to be reminded that the whole of our lives is blessed. And therefore, there needs to be a blessing for everything. A blessing not only for eating our food, but for washing our clothes. A blessing for the animals and for the harvest. A blessing for going to bed and a blessing for rising up. A blessing for the fire burning and for the fire going out. A blessing for the baby being born and a blessing for the spirit leaving us when we pass. That from our birthday to our last day on the earth, we need to recognize that all is blessing. The third gift flows from the other two, that if everything and everyone is sacred and blessing, then we need indeed to be hospitable to everyone, and we need to be especially welcoming of the stranger in our midst. That genuine hospitality is a sign that Christ is present not only at communion, but Christ is especially present in the stranger who comes among us. and that when we welcome the stranger, we indeed welcome Christ and entertain angels unaware. And finally, the fourth key gift of Celtic spirituality reminds us of the importance of learning to live a spiritual life in community, that we cannot grow in godliness by ourselves. These Celtic monastic communities remind us that we too are called into sacred community, that we cannot truly know who we are without knowing how to be in true communion with one another. It is in learning to be in community with each other that our own weaknesses and our strengths become apparent to each of us, and that we use our gifts and our strengths to make our contribution to the betterment of the world. There is righteousness in the heart. If there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. So let it be. So let us rise to sing a song of oneness deep in our hearts. Let us say together an African creed that was brought, was the missionary's way when working with the Maasai in trying to explain Jesus in their own context. Let us say together, we believe in the one high God who out of love created the beautiful world and everything good in it. He created man and wanted man to be happy in the world. God loves the world and every nation and tribe on the earth. We have known this high God in darkness, and now we know him in the light. God promised in the book of his word, the Bible, that he would save the world and all the nations and tribes. We believe that God made good his promise by sending his son, Jesus Christ, a man in the flesh, a Jew by tribe, born poor in a little village, who left his home and was always on safari doing good, curing people by the power of God, teaching about God and man, showing the meaning of religion is love. He was rejected by his people, tortured and nailed hands and feet to a cross, and died. He lay buried in the grave, but the hyenas did not touch him, and on the third day he rose from the grave. He ascended to the skies. He is the Lord. We believe that all our sins are forgiven through him. All who have faith in him must be sorry for their sins, be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, live the rules of love, and share the bread together in love to announce the good news to others until Jesus comes again. We are waiting for him. He is alive. He lives. This we believe. Amen.